Welcome to the Reformist Pipeline, your dose of empowerment and the pipeline to inform your decision on how you can support change in our education system. This is Lindsay, affectionately known as Miss Black.
And I'm Hadi Hop, Mr. Broussard. If you're feeling sore, Lance, I am sore as I don't know what today.
Ooh, this is a new feeling.
Yeah, you know, I took a page out of your book. Had a check-in US with you.
Wow.
Me working out this week. I worked out two times this week. I went to the gym. I went to Planet Fitness.
Yes.
Did that for the first time. I know that I was very skeptical given the pandemic, but I went at like an awkward time.
Oh, I've been going to the gym
and
too.
So I think that was probably the reason why I felt a little more comfortable doing it. But it was a good workout. I'm still sore for it. And then the next day I got up and did like a little run. I worked out three times, what I'm saying.
Yes.
And then the third day, I had just bought like all this home workout equipment. So I got like a jump rope, got some resistance bands, a yoga mat, and multiple resistance bands. So like, you know, the ones that like go around,
the actual bands.
And the other ones that you like pull.
Oh, okay. Pull ones.
So I got all of that. Some push-up bars, an ab
you
roller.
You got a push-up bar?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, the pull-up bar?
No. So, like, the two little things that go on the floor.
Oh, okay. I mean, I'm not getting those either. But if you would have said, somebody suggested I get a pull-up bar, I was like, I love that you believe in me so much.
You could do it. I could see you doing that.
I also could not see me doing it. So,
all right.
My update is a little more... I have downloaded the pattern app, and this is not a paid advertisement, but it's like an astrological app, right? And it reads you for filth, y'all. CoStar is cool and all, but Pattern is really thorough and reads you for filth. And one of the like patterns, the stages that I'm going through right now is like love and grief. And so it's like asking me to like write down or basically like reflect on things that I'm grieving about. So I'm obviously grieving about like COVID and like my old the outside life, right? I'm grieving about teaching and not being able to teach normally. And then September 11th has recently passed. So by the time you hear this, it would have passed already. And definitely grieving some of the like that as well. Like, I think nationally we do that. Mm-hmm. We like honor the people that were lost and like the first responders that who had lost lives. But I'm also specifically grieving the experience that the Muslim community had prior to 9/11.
Yeah.
And like, I know I was like, it was 2001. So I was in like kindergarten, first grade, but it hit me. And I'm just like, their lives changed in a matter of minutes. Like, they're watching this happen on TV, and then the next day, their kids are being uninvited to parties. Mm. They're not able to walk down the street without people looking at them sideways.
Yeah.
They're not able to just practice and, like, have these religious beliefs. Or, like, the beautiful covered women are being looked at sideways. And that... I'm just grieving that experience for them. And, you know, the activist in me, I was so mad because I'm like, damn it, Lindsay, why couldn't you help them in first grade?
That's real though.
That's been like my reflection for the week. I've been trying to be super reflective about these things and grieving things that aren't necessarily like full on deaths, but things that are no longer the same.
And now it's time for Terminology Time, where we define a term that has to deal with some aspect of education. So this week, our term is manipulatives. I'm going to say that one more time. It is manipulatives. And these are tools that are used to increase engagement in the classroom. They can be used to introduce students to new concepts, practice something they already know, or remediate something they need additional support with. Back in the day when I was in the classroom, we used a curriculum called Wilson Reading System, also known as Foundations. So students used their foundations boards, which had little letter tiles on them, and would point to them and use them to spell words throughout the lesson. That's what manipulatives are. Can't wait for y'all to hear more about them in today's episode.
Cut the noise. Cut the noise. Cut the noise. If you're not tuning in to Kicking It with Key, then you are surely missing out. He is a YouTuber, self-care enthusiast, an educator, a queen of unboxing, and a lupus survivor.
And Key is also one of my really good friends. Kicking It with Key focuses on sharing personal journeys to light the pathway for others through tips and hacks for everyday struggles. If you're interested in cutting the noise and living your very best life, tune in every other Sunday at 7 p.m. on YouTube. You can find Key on YouTube at Kian Cole. Let me spell it out for you. K-I-A-N-A-C-O-L-E. You can also find Kicking It with Key on Instagram at Kicking It with Key _. I'm going to spell that out for you too. K-I-C-K-I-N-I-T-W-I-T-H-K-I_. Join Key so you can also live your very best life.
Moving into our second segment, two sets of notes. As you know, this part is where we will highlight something current that is happening and provide our second set of notes with a teacher lens. And today we are speaking on and honoring the life of Chadwick Boseman, our very, very own Black Panther. I know that there are a lot of us still grieving, and we want to provide a space to acknowledge that, but also highlight how this has impacted the education space. I was actually at home and I was sleeping. My mom woke me up and told me that Chadwick Boseman passed away. And my immediate thought was, oh my gosh, the kids are going to be so sad. Like, the little boys are going to be so sad. And it was true. He definitely had a huge impact, because this was one of the first times that this generation's kids had saw like a prominent Black superhero, and they believed that they could be a superhero. And I also wanted to speak on this from the teacher perspective, in that we become grief counselors when things happen, when this type of stuff happens. Trying to navigate a conversation in person with students about grief and the death and deaths is very, very difficult, and makes it even more difficult when we have to do this in a virtual space. But I was very grateful that my school made it a priority to at least talk about the death of Chadwick Boseman and give ideas on how we could present it to our students. And so that was like a beautiful moment for us. And I just also like to say that Black students this summer, this period in life, have had to talk about death so many times. I really want to acknowledge that, like how many times they've had to talk about death since January up into this very point. So if we're talking about the injustice, we're talking about the death from an illness from a very beloved, prominent Black figure, they've had to really navigate this. So I just want to remind everybody just to show yourself compassion, allow yourself to grieve, and just show love and be empathetic towards others.
And now it's time for our concept development. This week, we're going to be grilling Lens about what life is like present day in the classroom. The virtual classroom, of course. Now, without further ado, we have Miss Black here.
Hi, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'd like to thank you for allowing me to be in this space.
Right. No, but so, Lens, what is the virtual world like? Do you enjoy it? Do you hate it? What's going on?
You know, that's a really good question. And a lot of people have been asking me that, like a lot of people in a bunch of different avenues. I love it mostly for personal reasons. I feel like I have a good balance of work and life. And if you know me and you know me, you know that that's something that I'm not incredibly great at. Me and along with the other educators, but I get to pee whenever I want.
Yes.
That is a luxury. I know my teachers that are listening are like, yes!
Right.
So I get to pee whenever I want. Like, I can actually like eat and make my own food.
Yes.
I just feel like I have more flexibility with my hours and what I do in my hours. So that has been really nice on a personal level, and like being able to like FaceTime people in the middle of the day, you know?
Yes.
Which is super important with Corona and like staying connected. And I enjoy it because I joke that I'm probably the least tech savvy person from the Silicon Valley ever. But when I'm telling you, it's elevating, baby.
That's
it's
good.
Elevating.
I feel like that's low key your tagline.
It is my tagline, because that's how I feel. I need to stop manifesting that, because I'm different now.
You are.
But I'm really in a space where I can be innovative and creative with the technology.
Yeah.
And something as simple as PowerPoint, using SlidesGo or like Slides Carnival to like create an actual like visually appealing PowerPoint.
Yeah.
Using all different types of technology like Nearpod. I remember, was it last year? you were trying to explain to me what Zoom was. Like, I had never been on Zoom before.
You're right.
Click the link. I'm like, I don't know what the hell this is. You're like, Lynn, you should learn how to use this. I'm like, I'm never going to need to use this, Jahai.
And here we are.
What the hell? I know how to annotate the screen. I'm doing polls in the middle of class and sharing the results. So it's been a lot of like growth with technology, and it makes me happy that I'm being exposed to it. And like, I'm 26.
Right.
And my students are being exposed to like how to use technology in a professional space. Yes. You know what I'm saying?
Transferable skills. Yeah.
Exactly. Because the TikTok videos they're making is not really translating right now.
Right.
But them being able to like navigate Zoom, knowing when to refresh, knowing when to turn the computer off, like the with itness of being able to maneuver with the tech, even like the typing is getting better.
Yes.
So that's really good. I would say that one of the downfalls is I'm being forced to communicate more, which is not, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's like, it's just a downfall for me because I have to build a routine and a rapport with new families that I've never met in person.
Virtually. Yeah. That's a lot.
And I'm an in-person person.
Yeah.
So having to like message families, and I have 3 different homerooms. So it's like 86 seventh graders at this point.
Oh my gosh.
Message families when like the kid's not there, or, and like figure out and balance like who's not there and why. Some kids have similar names and I don't even know what they look like. Like some kids right now have never been there to my class. I have one student who I think his primary language is Spanish, and I have not seen him in class because there's a language barrier between the person who's assigned to like communicate with them. So that's been something that's really difficult. So,
yeah. You know, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because I actually just saw a report yesterday and they said that close to 20,000 students haven't been registered for school this year. and that was and at this point last year we were at 87,000 students enrolled out of the 99 that like was expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really beneath the goal right now. And I think a lot of it has to deal with kind of this technology
gap
of people not knowing. And more importantly, the enrollment. Do you remember enrollment our first year when parents used to come up to school?
First of all, enrollment is a haze.
It really is.
It's so paper-based. It's so incentivized to get kids enrolled.
Yes.
Honestly, at least in charter schools, operation managers get a monetary bonus for having a certain number of enrolled at a certain time.
Yeah.
I wish I was given the same monetary bonus for teaching, but whatever.
Because y'all definitely do have to get the paperwork in.
I'm saying,
like, give it
you
to
want
the
me to harass
operation
them
manager
too.
And stuff. Exactly. And I also gonna say, I gotta shout you out because I don't even think that you talked about this, but you brought a piece of technology to your new campus that you're at. And that's seen as like a big value add in a company and like outside world. And so like that's shout out.
Thank
to
you.
You.
You're right. I did do that.
Yes.
And I just tried to roll it out this week. Kind of crazy. But I feel like once I start using it more, like I put somebody else onto it, she uses it all the time. Once I start using it more, other teachers will hop on because I'm like, it'll resolve your issues. But you know, some people just want to do what they're used to.
Absolutely.
First. Totally understand that.
Absolutely.
That's I think the last challenge though, and I know we're gonna move on, but the last challenge is my first homeroom is dead in the morning. I mean, half of them, some of them be sleep on camera. I'm like, look, it's 9:30. Like, you have to wake up. I'll be like, oh, so what y'all do this weekend?
I don't know if they can hear the crickets, but it really sounded like crickets in here.
Crickets. And I'm like, you guys, chat box, like any shout outs? Y'all have any shout outs? How do y'all know not have any shout outs? It's week 3. And I had to ask them. I said, so do y'all like shout outs? Do you like them or no? Because we don't have to do them if you don't like them. Oh no, I like them a lot. And I'm like pulling teeth, like trying to give specific, okay, name someone, shout out someone who's wearing yellow. Like it's like getting to that point. But I know this awkward.
That reminds me of my first year of teaching when we used to have those shout out circles. And it used to feel like, okay, like, are we just going to continue to sit here until what time do we get off? 4:30?
4:30.
And just force it?
Just stand there.
Yeah, that's awkward. But 9:30 in the morning, the kids still ain't up. That's interesting.
It's okay though.
And so here we are. And so, Lynn, I'm also curious to know, like, what has lesson preparation looked like for you, especially with this launch of this new tool, this new platform, and manipulatives, like we just discussed in terminology time.
Yeah, see who remembers what that means.
Right.
Lesson planning has been, I would say, a productive struggle. Kids have supplies. I do want to name that for people. Mm-hmm. I actually went up to my school yesterday and there were like bags of the supplies so I could see what they got. So they have art class. So they have like art supplies. They have plenty of pencils, like those big, they got a full pack, like the large adult pack Expo pens. They have whiteboards. What else do they have? Just have pretty much anything that they need. They don't have math manipulatives, though. I will say that. Gotcha. I think that was kind of difficult to like maneuver. Mm-hmm. So lesson planning, I'm a PowerPoint whiz at this point. Yes. Like I just start. I'm like, let me add in some transitions just because, okay, like make it fun.
Right.
I'm all about engaging kids because if it's boring, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
Like that's why my network has given us a template of like a lesson plan template. Because we do have a curriculum, the network has like chiseled down the curriculum for virtual learning, and then we teach it. But it goes through another transformation with me because I refuse to use those boring ass PowerPoint templates, and I would never torture my Black and Brown students by putting that in front of them.
Amen.
Sorry,
we're on the same page.
I love us for real. Amen. Damn it. So PowerPoint is cool. Kami is the new technology that I use. Mm-hmm. And Kami could work for anybody who's a listener, actually, although y'all might have different systems already. But Kami is a Google Chrome extension, mm-hmm, in which you can upload PDFs. Whoa. You can upload PDFs and edit PDFs.
Okay.
So you could they have like an equation tool, they have a drawing tool, they have like a text box. You're also able to record on it if you get like the upgrade. So I can record a comment or like I can record a video. So the way that I would use that in the classroom later on down the line is I would have students like explain their answer verbally or with the video, and then I'd be able to see it. So there is a way to have rigorous virtual content. Like everyone's like, kids aren't going to get the learning they need, but y'all are really thinking inside of a box.
Yeah. And you know, that's, I'm glad that you said that, because I think that we have to really do a better job of changing our perspective on all of this virtual learning, because this is actually a way that things could become much more equitable than they already are. Okay. And if we, but we have to approach it with that mindset. But if we approach it with deficit-based mindset.
There we go.
That we're not going to be able to get anywhere. And so I think that that's really what the type of attitude that some educators have had is like, oh, I'm going to make this work. My experience that I'm able to make sure that I'm meeting all of my students where they're at. And there's some that are like, oh no, like this is just not it. And granted, and this is what we were kind of getting into earlier when we were checking in, is just like this whole idea of making sure that educators are okay. And mm-hmm, ensuring that they have all of the things that they need, and making sure that their mental health is good. Because if you don't have that, then how are you going to be good in the classroom and teaching your kids?
You're not. Even if it's virtual, it's not going to work for you. I also think that about like the equity thing, I totally agree with that. And people like have all these opinions about education now, but I would just like to be the first and definitely not the last. And I know I'm not the first, but if this is the first time you're hearing it, we've been had an equity issue in education. Exactly. Y'all just started caring because it became popular. And that's on period right there.
Yes.
So the equity issue has not changed. Right. It is just now at the forefront of the conversation. And we have to be able to use the tools that we can use in order to make it an equitable situation. And right now, that is just tech. I will also say that I am very, I believe in representation. I think representation is super important. And I don't know, maybe the listeners have the experience, mm-hmm, I know you have, where you're just looking for kids playing. Like, you'll Google that, right?
Yes.
And what color are the kids, Jahai?
That pop up immediately, white.
White, right? You have to keep scrolling to find those, like, Black kids. Even if you type in Black kids,
right,
white kids will pop up anyway. Right. I found blackillustrations.com. Blackillustrations.com is a Black-owned like graphic design company.
Oh, wow.
So if you go on the website right now, they actually have like one or two like free packs that you can use, or like work from home and like office space packs. Mm-hmm. So they have a bunch of different types of Black people. They got light-skinned Black people, brown-skinned Black people, dark-skinned Black people. I know they just created a people with disabilities package.
Okay.
And I actually was really happy because I felt supported by my new principal. I emailed him. I was like, hey, students, like it was like a school type of package that they have available. Okay. It was like $38, and I would buy it, but I'm like, right, let me just shoot the shot in the dark. I sent that to him. He immediately replied with the PDF because he had just bought it.
Yes, that is so. That is support.
That's the energy we
that's
need.
That's what we need. That's what you need in the classroom. I completely agree.
I like that.
Wow.
So that's blackillustrations.com. Especially if you're someone who like does like you use PowerPoint or you do presentations, there's somebody you could contact to support a black business, and they can actually just create whatever you need them to create. So I use that because representation is important. I believe that we can still have rigorous content, even though I will say that this school year, well, since March, has felt like we are building a plane as we're flying it.
Yeah.
Like piece by piece. And I don't know how to fly a plane. Yeah. So I damn sure don't know how to build one.
That was good. But that's real though.
Just, yeah.
That is so real. And that's the reason why I think it's very important that we really make sure that y'all are good and that people in leadership are making sure that y'all have all of the resources that you need. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be like any type of battle, because right now, just like you said, like y'all are building the plane as you're flying it. And to do that, you need to make sure that you have every, you ask, you should be answered with a yes. That's it. That's all we got right now. So yes. Speaking of, well, not really speaking of, that's not, that doesn't go at all, but we're just going to go into joy. How are you infusing joy into your classroom? Because that's just a lot in a virtual space, I would think.
It is. It is a lot in the virtual space. I'm very animated already. So let's just off top. Yeah. People always like one of my co-teachers, we figured out we're both Aquarius. She's like, I'm surprised you're so extroverted. I'm like, yeah, I'm putting on a show. Like, it's either a show or we're not going. So I'm very animated. I'm funny. So
funny.
I'm funny and I'm corny. And with middle schoolers, like they want something to laugh at.
Yes.
And I'm not very sensitive. So like we can make jokes, whatever, but we also play games. Like we do icebreakers. I allow students to come off mute and speak whenever they want to. Mm-hmm. Like, of course there's like some feedback on like, was that a good time or not, but they have to know how to learn how to manage the space.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Like we have these expectations, but you can, you know, bob and weave through them. I don't be following rules, so I don't expect them to follow every single rule.
Right.
They use a chat box. We use that a lot. So we did a game called Name 4. And it's interesting, like the most simplest things, like what I hate and what the myth I want to dispel is that middle school kids aren't kids and they don't want to like play games and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
They want to do the same corny stuff that third graders want to do. Like that's just what it is. So we playing Name 4 because the lesson is about decimal operations. So doing addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division with decimals. So my last question is, can you name 4 operations?
Mm-hmm.
But the first question was like, can you name 4 fast food restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm.
So kids' eyes light up in those screens when they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, oh, yeah, y'all talking about Chick-fil-A. That's my spot, even though I don't eat there because they're homophobic and racist. But sweet. I do love Chick-fil-A, right, in my past. And then talking about Wendy's. So then this is an opportunity where I can be like, you know, I never had Wendy's until I came to college because there's not a lot of Wendy's in California. Like they're in the Bay.
I was about to say it must be in the Bay.
In the Bay, there's not a lot of Wendy's.
You know, I live in the suburbs too, or back in Cali. Exactly. So that's probably the reason why they were on every corner. Okay.
Okay. Well, I didn't have Wendy's until I came to Howard. I feel like it was like my second or third year.
So you went to that one off of what, New York Ave or wherever that
actually
was.
I don't even know if I went to that one if we was on a basketball trip.
Oh,
we were on a basketball
trip.
Because I remember telling my friend Brianna Kilgore. She was my point guard at that time. I was like telling her I had never been to Wendy's and she was like, what? Looking at me crazy. I've never been to Wendy's. But like that's another time where students can get to know me and we can have a discourse about it.
Exactly.
And then the next one was Named 4 Rappers.
Oh, and this was so interesting.
First of all, you know, I work in DC. Only one kid out of the 86 kids says Shy Glizzy.
Oh, wow.
Right. What? I mean, I know he's not the only DC rapper, but I was still surprised.
Me too.
A lot of kids said Tupac.
What?
Yeah.
Wow. I was not expecting that.
I'm like, okay. You know, it's Westside Online anyway.
Exactly.
And then my principal also raps, right? And so he's rapped for them multiple times. So one of the kids said the principal.
Oh, that is so dope. I like that. I like that.
So there's definitely ways to build community and definitely ways to infuse joy. And those are my top ways. Just discourse and being fun.
That's amazing. That is definitely amazing. Wow. That just brought me joy. So
yes.
I'm living for that. Okay. And so speaking of like this whole joy and like trying to build relationships and rapport with families, like, you know, home visits were a thing that I know that you used to do and be very active.
Yeah, I did those one year because they stopped paying me.
Yeah, that's real. And so I am curious, what does family engagement in the virtual space kind of look like?
It's been interesting. We have family conferences, so like introductory conferences. I only did like 15 of those, but they were like 30 minutes each. They were all super enjoyable. Like, families were immediately like, oh, welcome to the family. When I told them that I was new, some parents are so funny. Like, I said something like, what did I say? Oh, I was telling one of the moms, I'm like, you know, if your student's going to be absent, like, just make sure you send a note. I got my white people professional voice on, right? Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, Ms. Black. She's like, the school is online. What you mean absent? I said, look, sis. I have to say it. But I agree. She's like, no, she will be in every single class. Great.
Yeah.
You like it. I love it.
Right.
Okay. That's fine with me. We have a back to school night next week on Wednesday.
I love that your school waited until y'all had a couple of classes. I've been hearing some campuses have not been doing that. It's been like a typical before, like the first week before. I think it's like the week.
For back to school night?
Yeah, for back
you don't
to
have nothing
night.
Figured out. We just figured out grades.
I completely agree.
I'm like, what? I just explained to the kids like what their grades were, but how we were going to do it. Okay. Okay. Just going to stop there. Positive phone calls is something they're really big on.
Okay.
I don't really be calling. I just send a text message. That's something that I've been trying to do. It's a whole lot to do, but people are saying like 3 a week.
Okay.
Like one for each class. I'm like, I could totally do that.
Yeah.
And then I also, because I'm interacting with the kids so much, and a lot of things are positive, right?
Yeah.
Because that's another plus, is that I'm doing significant less behavior management with the students that are in the class. So that's easy.
Yeah.
And the other day I had this girl, she answered a question, she answered it right. And her mom was in the background like, yes, yes. I'm like, okay, parent engagement.
We got to pause right there, because that just made me so happy, because I really do wonder at times, like, if parents were consistently around and while students were learning, and the student could see a correlation between my parent being happy in this moment that I'm doing good, as opposed to it being like, we wait till family teacher conference to get around this, to have that conversation of congratulating you and saying how happy I am. Like,
yes.
What that would look like if more of that would happen, like, more consistently.
Right. What would that look like?
Yeah.
I don't know. not a question to be answered today, but
right.
Definitely
we can ponder.
A thought.
But yeah, that's so amazing. That is so amazing. And so with all of the amazing family virtual stuff, what has the biggest challenge been in general for virtual learning?
My workspace is the ghetto.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
I just want to take a moment, because on Instagram, I have been asking for donations for my classroom.
Yeah.
And I actually have received like a very good amount of money. And I'm so grateful for the people that have sent me money.
Shout out to your village.
Shout out to my village. I'm still pooling. I still need to be about like $150 to $200 just to make sure that I don't have a printer. And I'm just now realizing how important a printer will be.
Yeah.
Obviously for me, but I didn't need a printer. I lived here. I've never needed it. But for my students and like using my dot cam and making sure they have access to it. So if you do have the funds, I am MamaLens22 on Cash App and Venmo. You can slide in the DMs. But shout out to the people, like old and young, have been sending money.
Yes.
Somebody sent me $5 and I'm like, she's like, oh, it's not that much. I'm like, it is though.
Exactly.
Like, it's $5 more than I had.
Exactly.
Someone has sent me $100, like, you know, the OGs. I'm like, thank you so much. Like, I feel seen, I feel valued in this way that I've never felt valued as an educator before.
And that's what's needed.
So my workspace is ghetto, but I have a desk now. Nothing's put together.
That's why I was like, sorry about that.
Yeah, because you and Marvin have not come to put my stuff together, but that's okay. So the workspace has been a challenge. I hunch over a lot, but that's all going to change.
Yes.
And then Zoom bombing is a new phrase maybe should have been our terminology time. Okay. But Zoom bombing, and y'all may have saw it on the news, but there are people, I think it's kids though, that are getting kids like schedules and their logins or Zoom logins and coming into classes And like just saying a whole bunch of profanities, just saying so many negative things about little girls. You can only imagine what they're saying. I had one of my students from my last school, we're in a group text, me and a couple of the girls, and she's like, "Miss Black, I really need your help because somebody came in and said that I'm sucking D." And mind you, this is what she's typing to me. And I'm like, somebody said that?
Wow.
Jeez. So it's just like cyberbullying on a new level. And we don't know, like, I think somebody, I heard that there was like an Instagram page that was going around where people could drop their login information on there. So that happened really bad at the beginning. It didn't really happen to me until yesterday.
What?
The last class of the day, we got somebody in there calling daddy. We do not have a daddy in this class, sir. Or ma'am, we don't have a daddy. And then it was another random name, but they're getting good because they're actually using the first and last names of students or a teacher. So when you see Jihad, you're like, oh, I see Jihad. But you see a Jihad's already in the class.
Right, so you're like.
So we had let one of them in and they just started cursing. And like the kids, most of the kids are like used to it by now.
Right.
I'm not trying to place blame on people, but I think some of the kids are in on it. I just think that maybe they thought it would be funny at the beginning. And it was funny.
Right.
But it's week three. Like, y'all not tired?
Come on.
Please go do something.
Come on.
So Zoom bombing is a challenge. Finding routine to get into, like my eating routine, my drinking water routine, my getting work done routine. And lastly, being new to my grade level. I've never taught seventh grade.
Yeah, when you were showing me that content earlier, I was like, oh, wow, this is completely different.
Right. And I only taught half of sixth grade, so.
Right.
Wow. But I be in meetings sometimes. They be running circles around me, but that's okay. I like a challenge.
Yes. This is good. And you still be knowing all of what you need to know and then some. So I'm not concerned at all. And so given that we know that we'll eventually be back in classrooms, what do you think the transition to in-person classes will kind of look like?
Hell. Next question, please, Alex. JK. I kid.
Yes.
It's not going to be smooth.
Yeah.
No matter how much we're going to plan, no matter how, what schools are lying or like, you know, putting a blanket over stuff for parents and families. It's not going to be a smooth transition.
Mm-hmm.
I personally just say this on record. I will not be going into the classroom if I don't feel it's safe.
Amen.
So whatever that means, whatever those consequences are, it's not going to happen for me because teachers are passing away. Like, people are already passing away and that wasn't enough for people.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we had to have teachers die, and that's so unfortunate. And, you know, just please rest their souls. I'm glad that they're in like a better space now.
But yeah.
I'm just thinking about them, their families, their legacy, their students.
Yeah.
What you doing? You making the students go back to school on Monday? Who's the substitute?
Yeah.
Are you having a grieving conversation with them?
Nope.
Okay. So I will say that's going to be difficult. The logistics and criteria for return are not clear enough for me. And so that means they're not clear enough for schools. There's definitely going to have to be a hybrid system. Right. And what I want people to know in planning for the hybrid system, the reason it's so difficult, it's not just as easy as like, oh, you go back to school for 3 days and then you're at home for 2 days. The whatever system is had, the way it was explained to me is that it has to be easy to flip back to full remote.
Right.
Right. And so when you think about the teachers that are have like a compromised immune systems and they're just not going to be in the classroom. So some people are going to be signed to online learning and some people are going to be signed to in-person learning for a certain amount of days.
Yeah.
Some people are going to have one pod. Some people are going to have multiple pods.
Wow.
Some people's contract says math, but they're going to make them do ELA and math because they have to work from home, which seems inequitable and not just to me either.
Right.
You're not paying me more money. But you're still telling parents that they're getting high quality instruction.
Hmm.
No, they're not.
Nope.
Please stop saying that. So it's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I have middle school. So hopefully if we do get to a space where I feel comfortable and the rates are like relatively low, they'll be able to keep their mask on if they want to.
Right.
If they want to.
Because older students,
I don't know what families are telling their kids. Like, do y'all believe in it? Or are you at the sideshow?
Yeah.
Sideshow at the park that I just saw the other day. It was like 30 people and they racing cars outside. Like, is your family member one of them? That's fine. It's fun and dandy.
Right.
But you're sending a message that, oh, I could be in this space and it's safe. But when you come to school, like, these teachers, a lot of these teachers don't live in D.C.
No.
Right. So, and they don't live in the ward that I teach in. So, you just don't know what the mindset is around COVID, and you can only say things so many times, and people will forget and be project their anger that they feel like they're being controlled, but yep, you have to wear it. So many things.
That's a lot, but you're right. And I think that's important to note, that it's not going to be a smooth transition back. And we knew that it wasn't going to, which is why we advocated for people not to go, or students and teachers not to be back in classrooms, just because we knew that even if we would have all been back in classrooms, it still wouldn't have been good. So yeah, I think that it's good that we're virtual for now, and let's create a good plan.
But before we do move on, I do want to just pause and take some time to show gratitude towards our admin.
Yeah.
Because this is not their problem. They didn't create this problem. And I would like to recognize that I think that admin is doing their best.
Hmm.
We see our true colors when we're facing challenges, and sometimes their ideas may not make any sense. But I will say that I think that they're trying to do their best, and I appreciate admin who are trying to create a plan in this anxiety-inducing space.
Shout out to the leaders that are actually creating meaningful change in a positive way.
Yes.
And so, last question. Mm-hmm. What is that one piece of advice that you have for your fellow first year educator, as well as just in general, given all of what's happening right now?
So we talk about this a lot, Jahi, for first year educators. And then, like, you need to reflect on it as you go on. But, like, know who you are, right? And not to have everything figured out, but you need to be comfortable with a process of self-reflecting. You need to analyze what you are projecting when you come to certain spaces.
Hmm.
When you say something to someone, to a kid, and it's like an automatic response, write it down. And like that night, take some time to think about why you said it that way. Because I've done that before. Like, I've been very demeaning. I've been very punitive. And I had to really figure out why I was saying that. But there's a lot of unlearning that we have to do. And some things that we've normalized, and I'm speaking for the Black experience.
Yes.
There's some things we've normalized being grown up Black. Like, you know, you just don't talk back. You don't say certain things. Do I think kids should be talking back?
No.
No. Do I think we can have a conversation?
Absolutely.
Yes. But you snapping at me and being rude, and you're not even saying nothing.
Right.
Like, you're not saying nothing. Like, how are we going to resolve the issue? Like, that's my goal. So just being rooted in that. And then I would also say, negotiate your salary and stop playing.
Amen.
Negotiate your salary. These large corporations do it all the time. We're not, like, honestly, there's going to be a cap where they cap us. But I will say that I got paid $50,000my first year teaching.
Because
I would also like to say we should normalize talking about our salaries.
Let's talk about it. Say that one more time. Yes.
Like, we need to normalize talking about money and talking about our salaries. I think in general, but especially as teachers, because it's all a game, y'all. Hmm. Like, they know that it's taboo for us to talk about our money. So if I don't talk about my money with somebody else, this is exactly what happened. I feel like we talked about this. I didn't negotiate and I didn't talk about my salary. So I got $50,000, but a girl who didn't even have a degree in education went through some teacher preparation program, negotiated, and she was from a Southeast Asian background. So she probably just knew she was supposed to negotiate. She getting paid $7,000 more at least for the same job that I'm doing, but I'm doing it better, right? I'm doing it better, period. So negotiate your salary, talk about salaries with other people. Please stop making money such a taboo. And then I'd also say for first year educators, stop spending your money.
Yes.
Stop spending your money. I did it too.
Right.
I did it too. Stop spending your money on incentives.
Yep.
Like, I also think I love reward. I do think students should be able to earn things. I think that external reward is always going to be a thing in classrooms and schools forever. But this PBIS and like incentivizing things, I just think that incentivizing things does not lead to intrinsic motivation, which is our actual end goal.
Right.
Unless there is an intentional process to wean students off
exactly.
of the incentivizing, right? But we're not doing that. So you keep telling Billy that if you do your homework, you'll get candy. You do your homework, you get candy. And next year, when he comes to Miss Black, He learns he's not getting candy for doing homework, and you're just supposed to do it.
It's like, what?
What's crazy is that they do it.
Huh.
They do it when you expect them to do it.
Right.
Like, I've never had an issue, like a big issue I can recall where a student is like, oh, I'm not going to do that. And I can tell it's because you've had an incentive. Like, mm-hmm, not mm-hmm. a big issue. I can right. tell it's going to be an ongoing conversation.
Right.
But bottom line is, stop spending your money on incentives. Ask your principal and people to do it. And if they're not going to do it, then you don't do it. Find something else, please. Or you can also have parents, like, parents will donate money, parents will donate items. But stop spending your own money on that, because there's no longevity in that process.
There isn't.
There isn't. Not for all of us.
No. And this is, and thank you, because I think that this is what a theme that we need to talk more about of is this idea of making sure that educators feel supported in the classroom. And it's not just by admin, it's by literally everyone, the community. Like, there are ways that you can get, and there are ways that admin can reach out to the community to get people to donate things and get different corporations to donate things. Like, it is possible, but
yeah.
like, as educators, you have to ask, you have to like extend the olive branch to make sure that you are asking first, as opposed to you going out to spend the yes. little money that you already have. Like, cause we know that education is not a value profession as where it mm-hmm. stands now. And so, like, until we start to like change what this process and what this system looks like,
right.
we're just going to continue to feed into the system. And so, please advocate, ask. All they can say is no.
Figure out how to create a flyer on Canva and ask
yes.
people. People want to give to us. And if we don't lean into that, we're going to miss the opportunity. And it's, remember, when you're asking for money for your classroom, it's not for you. I don't feel no type yes. of way asking for money, because
yes.
I'm using it for my classroom. Like, literally, I'm going to post a picture. You're going to see it, right? Like, do that, because people want to support us. But if we don't give them a way to support,
exactly.
then what are we doing?
Exactly.
And I think my final advice just for all teachers is in this space right now, please listen carefully.
I'm listening.
Everything is not going to get done, and that's okay. Everything is not going to get done, and that's okay. You just need, it's a mantra. Just repeat it. Even if you're a non-teacher, you
I was just about to say that. Locus. I was telling Gino this last night. I said, locus of control. Whatever is in your control, that's what you can change. Anything outside of that, you can't impact that.
You can't.
If people are, if you work with two different people in two different countries and you need a project that's due tomorrow and the people in France, they're asleep right now, guess
they're
what?
Sleep. They're asleep.
You can't do anything
can't
about
do
that.
You can't do it.
You can't do anything about that. And so, like, for real though, people, especially like, we're in a global, it's still a pandemic, y'all. Like, it's
across the globe,
across
not just,
the
not
globe.
Just at your school, across the globe.
So please, please take care of yourselves. It is not all this work. It's artificial. Like, you need to be here tomorrow.
You have to be.
And the only reason, or like the only way that you'll be able to do that is if you're focusing on yourself and making sure that you control and change the things that are within your reach.
Yes. And we cannot fix a system if we keep making up for its losses instead of communicating what is going on. So, for example, like, if your principal tells you to do something and you're literally like, that's not going to work, I don't have the time to do it, if you keep staying up into the wee hours of the night and making it work, they're actually never going to know that it didn't work for you.
Exactly.
So
yes.
don't do it. Like, nobody can change anything if there is no consequence. I'm not saying play God.
Right.
I'm saying play realistic.
Woo!
Play human being.
Okay. Oh my goodness. Okay. Woo! You speaking today. Come on. Oh my goodness. Well, hey, we just gonna go ahead and wrap that up like that. shout out to Ms. Black. We call her Dr. Black one day, but hey, you know, it is what it is.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Manifest that.
Okay. Our call to action this episode is for you, a listener, to donate to a teacher, my friends. Please donate to a teacher. We're working from home. We needed items before, but we absolutely need items now. Teachers, I know that I didn't have a desk. I didn't have a desk chair. Some teachers need printers or just printer paper, something as small as Post-its. We're all trying to do this together, and this is the time where we really need to lean on people that are outside of the direct education realm. So if you are somebody that is able to send a monetary donation to a teacher, please do so. If you're someone who's not comfortable sending money, that's also very real, very true. But there are teachers who have Amazon gift wish list. And if you cannot pay for the whole item, you can put money towards an item. So you'll know that your money is going somewhere directly. Just go ahead and donate to a teacher. That's the movement right now. And if you follow me at MamaLens22 on Instagram, or you follow at Hottie Hi, we are actually going to put on our Instagram, and you should see it by the time this episode drops, an opportunity that for you to donate to a teacher if you don't already have one in mind. So be on the lookout for that. Reach out to a teacher, ask them what they need. Something as simple as that can get their brain moving, but we do need your support now in this time more than ever.
So like Lynn said, please go ahead and follow our Instagram pages at Hottie Hod, that's HADYHAD, and at Mama Lens, MamaLinds22. And also don't forget about our new Twitter page. You can find us on Twitter at TRP Advocates.
Thanks for listening. Please stand up for educators, donate to educators, continue to pour into us and show that we are valued.
Yes. Peace, love, and light.
Woody-hoo!